There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Welcome to College Football Live. Peter Burns, Trevor Maddich, and Casual Friday, Greg McElroy. Where's the sports coat there, G-Mac? Are you ready to roll or what?
No sport coat. I even have denim on. You can see my denim. Yeah.
Team denim.
I'm straight Casual Friday. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Well, hey, listen, you can't be casual about this because a lot of people are talking about it, and let's get into it. Former Maryland coach DJ Durkin has been watching tape and working as a consultant-type role with the Alabama football program. Durkin, remember, relieved from his duties as the head coach after internal investigation. Paul Feinbaum had to weigh in on that decision on Outside the Lines.
Doesn't need any more consultants. He has the Dallas Cowboys operation pretty much running in his building. There are consultants on every street corner in Tuscaloosa. And to invite the criticism to bring this on him, I don't understand. He's the best coach in college football. This is the best program in college football. And this is a terrible look for the University of Alabama.
Strong words from the mouth of the South. So, Greg, you were played for Coach Saban. You know that football program closely. What do you make of that decision to bring DJ Durkin in that type role?
Well, with every decision, you have to weigh the pros and the cons and do a cost-benefit analysis. And looking at what Nick Saban decided to do in bringing DJ Durkin in, I don't know what DJ Durkin's going to provide this program that's going to overlook all the different negativity that's going to be created as a result of bringing him on as an analyst. So I don't understand it. I really don't. I look at Nick Saban, I look at the staff that he's already put together and the success they've had throughout the course of this season, and it just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. They needed one additional voice, especially in a voice that comes with such turmoil and such negativity, to be a part of this staff throughout the college football playoff.
Greg, I say it differently. I think Nick Saban focuses only on his players in the moment and for their future. And in bringing in DJ Durkin, I think it makes his players, it gives them a better chance to succeed in this playoff this year. He'll be watching tape. He'll be doing self-scouting. He'll be doing all kinds of things that will help the Alabama coaches coach better. He will offload a lot of tasks that those Alabama coaches would have to be doing when they could have been working with the players. And I think when it all adds up, bringing in DJ Durkin, if you just get rid of all the baggage on the outside, on the inside, this makes Alabama a better football team. And I think that's what Nick Saban cares about.
Well, and you look at it, guys, he's always brought these kind of analysts in, right? Whether it be Hugh Freeze or wanting to do that with Hugh Freeze or Butch Jones or Steve Sarkisian, Lane Kiffin, those names come to mind. You know, Greg, when you look at it, should Saban just be able to do this and kind of become this halfway house for coaches that need a little bit of a different part of their image, a little bit better spot?
I understand why the coaches that you just listed would want to go to that Saban tree, get that rehabilitation program, and then come out the other side with an opportunity to maybe be a head coach or a coordinator, what have you. But at some point, the NCAA is going to probably step in on this, because at what point does having this many people on your staff give you a significant competitive advantage over teams that don't have the resources to be able to do these things? So I fully applaud Nick Saban for taking advantage of the rules right now, but at some point the NCAA is probably going to have to step in and put staff limitations in place so teams like Alabama and Ohio State and Oklahoma with deep, endless resources, they don't get a significant advantage over the teams that don't have the monetary considerations to pay for people like this.
Greg, I see that's an advantage over the Citadel, who Alabama played this year. But the rest of the SEC gets the same amount of money that Alabama does from the SEC network. Now, Bama has other sources of revenue. They have a massive stadium. I get it. They're richer. They have more money. But at the same time, why should the NCAA come in and say, just because you guys can do it and those other teams choose not to or they can't, why should the NCAA chop off what is the top of their capability? Why not say to the teams that aren't doing it now, you do what you need to do to get to where Alabama is, or at least close enough to it, that you can compete on that same level? To me, it makes no sense for the NCAA to put a ceiling on the potential greatness of the SEC based on teams at the bottom that can't afford an extra consultant.
But it's not just the SEC. It's all over college football. I mean, right now, there is a big separation, a gigantic gap between the haves and the have-nots. And it's even a big gap between the haves in the Power 5 and the have-nots in the Power 5, not to mention the gap between the Power 5 and the Group of 5. So wouldn't it be great to have competitive balance? And right now, with all these coaches that are looking for work and they're taking $35,000 to go to Alabama, they could be taking $35,000 to go to a school that actually needs additional voices and additional eyes to help get their program up to the level in which they can contend on a more consistent basis. So I like the idea of the NCAA stepping in, because that might level the playing field. Still, the best programs are still going to attract the best coaches, the best players. They already have enough advantages. Do they really need additional analysts to give them more advantages, to create even more of an advantage in their favor?
Well, sure, then the NCAA can do that. And if you've got more good coaches than a have-not, the NCAA can make some of those coaches go to the have-not, too. It's free enterprise. Compete.
Yeah, and listen, it's the 1% of college football continues to get richer while the middle class may erode. By the way, Butch Jones, Lane Kiffin, DJ Durkin, they all share one thing, the same agent with Nick Saban. That is Jimmy Sexton, arguably one of the most powerful men in college football. All right, how about one of those powerful ankles in college football, Tua Tagovailoa? All right, gentlemen, we saw it. Got injured in the SEC championship game, had surgery, and then Jalen Hurts comes in to save the day. So, listen, the game's not starting right now, but listen, Trevor Maddich, is Tua the starting quarterback if he's 100% healthy going into that game against Oklahoma?
Even if he's not 100%, he still should start. But I think this should be Jalen Hurts' game. I think Jalen should play a lot, because this is the kind of game that Alabama needs to play, the same one that Army played when they held Oklahoma to just 21 points in the regular four quarters before they scored the last touchdown in overtime. The reason is that if Tua's in there and healthy and throwing the ball deep down the field, then the Alabama defense is right back on the field chasing Kyler Murray around. That's not what Alabama wants. They want to grind this thing out like Army did. And if Tua's not fully healthy, then I think you're better off with Jalen in there to be able to grind that out. I think that Tua can score faster, but I think Jalen will score anyway and give his defense rest.
I'm not convinced of that. I think Tua is the guy, no matter what. Even if he's at 90%, even 85%, I'm more comfortable with Tua in the football game than I am with Jalen, even if he's at 100%, because I expect it to be a shootout. Oklahoma's going to get their yards, they're going to get their points, and they're going to need a quarterback on the other side of the field that isn't going to just churn out clock and have 45 minutes of time of possession like Army did. They need a guy that can match that quick strike offense that Oklahoma's going to have on the other side. The biggest reason why I think Tua should be his game no matter what is because I haven't seen a real potent pass rush from Oklahoma that's going to put Tua in a very vulnerable situation. So if he's comfortable operating from within the pocket, the path of least resistance statistically against Oklahoma has been through the air, so I would expect it to be Tua's show with a sprinkle of what Jalen might add to the offensive plan.
Not bad, right? When the worst option you have is the 2017 SEC Offensive Player of the Year. Hey, off the topic, or not even on the rundown, but Greg, I want to ask you this. Jalen Hurts' future at Alabama, is this the last couple of games we see, or he's developed a lot under Dan Enos, and he has a great relationship with Tua.
Players want to play. I mean, as much as you love Jalen, and I know Jalen loves Alabama, Jalen can walk on water here in the state of Alabama. That's for sure. People love him for what he's meant to this program. But honestly, he wants to go and try his opportunity as a starter elsewhere, then who can blame him? I wouldn't expect it to be a place in the Southeast like a lot of people have forecasted, but maybe somewhere in the Big 12. He is from the state of Texas. It wouldn't shock any of us if he landed out there at a place maybe he could start, maybe at Maryland too, knowing the connection that he has with Mike Locksley.
Greg, I agree that he walks on water in the state of Alabama, and it's because he put the bow on top of his career to date by staying, by being a good teammate. Yeah. Because of the way he's loved in that locker room, he could have created some division. He didn't. He did what he needed to do to show that he loves Alabama, and now if he transfers after this season, I think the state and the fan base will love him.
One thing we do know is he's much more of a popular Alabama quarterback than Mr. Greg McElroy there in Tuscaloosa. All right, moving forward, we got a lot more coming up on College Football Live Saturday, December 29th on ESPN. You won that College Football Playoff semifinals. We got it. Clemson, Notre Dame, and the Goodyear Cotton Bowl Classic, 4 p.m. Eastern. Then it's Bama, which one of those quarterbacks, and Oklahoma in the Capital One Orange Bowl. All right, coming up, bowl season is upon us. We'll show you the incredible story that will make the Celebration Bowl a must watch because of a dynamic duo.
Their chemistry is like Gamble and Huff. Both of them together Now you got a great duo.
College Football Live is brought to you by Papa John's new Papa Rewards program. Earn points five times faster.
More in space. Burst of speed. He's still going. Moore. Touchback. Touchdown.
Murray checks it down. Brown not tired. Down the sideline. Breaks the tackle. And scores.
Tagovailoa now circles around. Throws toward the end zone. And it's Judy. Touchdown.
Rear throws down the field, wide open Sills, makes the catch, in stride, 25-20, 15-10, 5, end zone, touchdown, David Sills.
I almost had to throw 15 yards at David Stills. I saw he do the longhorn down, the horns down. We can't do that. All right, those are some great dynamic duos. We're going to see another one in the Celebration Bowl. That's right, North Carolina A&T. Let's get you ready for that one for just an incredible tandem story. And you have quarterback Lamar Bernard and running back Marquel Cartwright. They look to defend their title in Saturday's Air Force Reserve Celebration Bowl. The undefeated Jerry Bembry has the story of their unique bond.
Raynard, floater in the end zone. Touchdown!
Together, they're forced to be reckoned with.
Here's Cartwright, busted out of the pile. Cartwright running over defenders.
That's my brother, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
And Cartwright will not be caught. Touchdown! A&T! Raynard throwing, floating it down the middle, has a man!
There's genuine love for each other, having played so long together.
North Carolina A&T, they're the HBCU National Champions.
And North Carolina A&T, the 2017 National Champions.
Long before they broke any records, and long before they won any championships, Lamar Raynard and Marquel Cartwright built something unbreakable, a friendship.
I met Lamar ninth grade year, High Point Andrews, my high school.
We stayed right down the street from each other, not far, about a two-minute drive.
We just like to, you know, hang with each other, and, you know, that's my brother, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
And that brotherhood would help develop a chemistry that allowed the two to flourish on the football field.
We changed over to a run-oriented offense, the wing T, and you could kind of see the light completely turn on for both of them as they were sophomores.
With Raynard as the gunslinging quarterback and Cartwright punishing defenses from the backfield, the duo as seniors led Andrews High School to the state championship game.
They were stopping us the whole game, and we were like, man, Cartwright, we need you, we need you. He said, I got you. So we did a jet sweep, and he ran like 60 yards, and he got it to the 10-yard line, and that's the spark that we needed.
The last minute of the game, I faked the jet and then blocked on the edge. And once I blocked, I just seen the ball being thrown in the air. It landed in Carlos Manning's hands, and he scored the last touchdown to seal the deal of the game.
Their chemistry is like Gamble and Huff, like the great producers. One without the other may not be as good, but if you put the both of them together, now you got a great duo.
After winning the state title, Raynard and Cartwright could have gone their separate ways, but they decided to take their next step together.
Cartwright and I, we sat down, we said, man, let's go make history at North Carolina A&T. We were like, okay, let's go do it then.
And it was like, I don't know if I want to be with nobody else. Our goal was to come here and make an impact.
Double style, one on Monday, ready, three.
Raynard has been dominant in his 4 years with the Aggies. He has the most touchdowns in school history and holds 7 single season passing records. In Cartwright's first 2 years, he played behind current Chicago Bears running back Tariq Cohen. Since then, Cartwright has rushed for over 1,000 yards in back-to-back seasons.
I can't name another two like them. If you want to hear the truth, there's no others that can compare. Present or past, they work hand in hand. We run a zone read, a gap scheme, and they have never fumbled it in exchange. Huh? That says it all to me.
For the third time in 4 years, North Carolina A&T returned to the Celebration Bowl, which means Raynard and Cartwright are back. As seniors, aiming for one more championship together.
Who would have thought, you know, two kids from High Point would come to college and end up with five rings trying to go six? I'm just so happy. I'm so blessed. And, you know, I'm thankful for that guy over there.
Oh, man, I love that dude. You know, I mean, I love him to death.
Those two guys have a lot of fun together. All right, let's take a look at our Capital One Bowl Mania preview. You can see both of those guys in the Air Force Reserve Celebration Bowl, North Carolina A&T and Alcorn State tomorrow noon Eastern on ABC. These schools meeting for the second time in the game's four-year history, and both schools are seeking their sixth HBCU national championship. Greg McElroy, what gets you excited about this game?
Well, if you need any more information about the quarterback and the running back, watch tomorrow, because it's remarkable to watch those two, and it's the tandem that they have going back and forth. Reinhart is legit. This guy can flat out throw a really nice release over the top, and Cartwright, in replacing Tariq Cohen, has done a remarkable job over the last 2 years, and has gone over 2,000 yards in those combined seasons. Just a really special talent. But if you needed anything else, just look at their coach, Rod Broadway, who delivered, arguably, guys, the line of the season. Take a listen.
You can't judge a man's will.
Yes, sir. Oh,
yeah. You can't measure a man's will.
Oh, yeah.
When a man get the will that y'all guys have, the sky's the limit.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The only thing can stop us is us.
Yes, sir.
Okay? So we going to get better, though.
Oh, yes, sir.
Okay, but I tell you what. You all have hearts of champions.
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir.
And a heart of a lion.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
One last thing. Tell them to bring me my money.
Bring me my money. Greg, what a great moment, right? Because they were paid to go out there and play, and they ended up winning that game. Just a great moment in that locker room.
Yeah, unbelievable. I loved it. And they did. I mean, East Carolina had to pay them $300,000 to come and play. And not only did they get paid to play, they beat ECU. So a remarkable performance. They deserve it. They are a terrific football team.
Greg, there are a lot of guys in this game that are easy to root for. One of them is Alcorn State quarterback Noah Johnson. He led his team in the state of Florida as a high schooler to two consecutive state championship games, but colleges thought that he was too short to play quarterback at the next level. Alcorn State was the only one that didn't make him switch positions and let him compete at quarterback. And he not only has succeeded there, he has succeeded at the highest level. He's the SWAC, the Southwestern Athletic Conference Offensive Player of the Year this year, led his team to a state conference championship. And here they are. So you've got a guy that's listed at 5'10", which is optimistic, but it doesn't matter because it's all about his heart. He's one of those guys that's so easy to root for in this bowl.
I just can't wait to see somebody on the holidays and say, bring me my money. What's with that? All right, hey, bring me my bowl games. We got a lot more coming up. Saturday, bowl season begins on ABC. North Carolina A&T takes on Alcorn State in the Air Force Reserve Celebration Bowl at noon. Then Fresno State squares off against Arizona State in the Mitsubishi Motors Las Vegas Bowl.
College football is more than a game. It's the band, the cheerleaders, the announcers.
It's uniquely American.
That passion separates college football from every other sport in the United States.
We got 30 minutes to go for the rest of our lives!
This poor Illinois, don't let him up!
There goes Davis!
He's all the way home!
The team.
College Football Live is brought to you by Tostitos, for every kind of fan.
Let's take a look at our Progressive Bowl Challenge Cup. This is rewarded to the conference with the best mark as a group during bowl season. Recent winners include the Big Ten, who won it last year, and the ACC, SEC, and Conference USA, who claimed it in recent years. And, of course, it'll be handed out after the national championship game. All right, guys, let's go a little bowl blitz. Mitsubishi Motors Las Vegas Bowl. Greg, give me the reason why that one gets you fired up other than hanging out in Las Vegas with the boys.
Well, two stories about really resurgent coaches that have resurrected their careers. Herm Edwards at Arizona State, nobody thought it would work as well as it has in year one. And Jeff Tedford at Fresno, who's done a remarkable job getting that program back on track. Now one of the best programs in the group of five.
And this is a big deal for the Pac-12, because last year they were 1-8 in bowl games. Utah was the only one that won. This is their only bowl until after Christmas. And if the Pac-12 loses to a Group of Five team in their first bowl and then we wait for 10 days to see what happens next, not a good look for the Pac-12.
Yeah, it already hurt the branding of a Pac-12 that's already kind of licking their wounds right now. R&L Carriers New Orleans Bowl, Greg McElroy, that one, we always like to hang out on Bourbon Street. But when it comes to the matchup, what excites you about that one?
Well, I really like this App State football team. They have a lot of really capable pieces. And Scott Satterfield did leave this program, though, and now they're operating in an interim capacity. Elijah Drinkwitz is going to be their head coach next year. He'll be on hand watching and evaluating those players. And keep an eye on Zach Thomas, one of the best quarterbacks in the Group of Five. Really talented App State football team that took Penn State to the brink and had finished a 10-2 as the winners of their conference.
This is another game with a lot of guys to root for. Middle Tennessee State's quarterback, Brett Stockstill, is a fifth-year senior. Started all 4 years that he was eligible. Went from being a freshman All-America honors to Conference USA Most Valuable Player this year. And his father, Rick Stockstill, is his coach. This is the last chance we get to see father coach son in an MTSU uniform.
Yeah, they're going to be emotional at that point. Look, Stockstill, 105 career touchdown passes, leader in FBS. Looking forward to this one because it's in Albuquerque. That's where my wife's from, and everybody's excited about it. It's New Mexico Bowl. They're presented by Progressive. Utah State, North Texas. Greg, what do you got?
Well, first and foremost, stick around for halftime. The number one recruit in the ESPN 300, Kayvon Thibodeau, is going to be announcing where he intends to go to school at halftime. So you got to stick around just for that. But as far as what's on the field, we're talking about two of the best quarterbacks in the entire country that nobody knows anything about. Mason Fine for North Texas, who's off the charts good, and Jordan Love, who's only a sophomore, but the quarterback for Utah State, played as well as anybody in the Group of Five. So two really good quarterbacks that you need to pay attention to that I think both have a legitimate chance of having Sunday careers on the NFL.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of drama when Fine throws the ball against that Utah State secondary because they give up a lot of passing yards, but they also lead the nation in interception. When the ball leaves Fine's hands, don't blink because something big's going to happen either way.
Both of those two teams have lost their last two bowl games, so obviously something's going to change. Gentlemen, it's been a blast. Bowl season is upon us. Get your confidence picks in over on ESPN.com. Y'all have a good one. We'll be back on Monday.